would like to look at the passage, Romans chapter 8. If you want to title tonight's lesson, you may title it Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. And I would appreciate if we use that as the invitation song. Because the passage discusses things which, in effect, is saying to the children of God that we can lean on God's everlasting arm. The text is full of assurance for God's people. We are going to ask if one of the brothers will to read for us from verse 1 to around verse 3 or 4.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. But the righteousness of the law, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Okay, thank you. As I've said, over the next few minutes, we like to just look on some of the things that are said in these few verses, and to see what we can not only learn from it, but the encouragement and the assurance which the Almighty God is giving to His people in this verse. Now, first, we must, or rather, I want to remind us that if you're a person who have been properly taught and you have become a Christian, get converted the Bible's way. You are in an awesome privileged position. You see, we take Christianity for granted, so much so that instead of seeing it for what it is, we see it a lot of time as a burden, as something encroaching on our peace, and that's why Christians backslide. Because for some reason, Satan has fooled a lot of people in telling them that the things out there that look so nice and enticing, the church, Christ, and Christianity is holding them from me. So, on different counts, Christians give up after a while. While if we see Christianity for what it really is, we would, as a brother Wright said to me about 2-3 weeks ago, that sometimes when you hear some truth, you have to jump and shout. And the brother actually outside jumped. I didn't know he was so physically fit. Now, but if we really understand the privilege to which we are exposed, we would really jump and shout. You see, but we crawl to church. We find excuse here and there. We are shy and timid to share the truth. There are so many things that does not speak well for us. You see, brothers and sisters, to be forgiven is a great privilege. Listen to Romans chapter 1 again.
Verse 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Now look on the opposite. Every man, every woman who has not been properly taught the gospel lives under the condemnation of sin. Now, that's a terrible state to live in. To live where you live in a state of divine spiritual condemnation. You go to your work, you're in a state of condemnation. You come from your work, you eat around your dining table, you go to bed in condemnation, you wake up in condemnation. Every second of your life, you are in a state of condemnation. So, we have in the text, as we could term it, the text discusses, and I'm going to discuss about, I don't know if I'll get to all of them, probably 4, 5, or 6 positive, encouraging things about being a Christian, which these few verses discuss. First, our text discusses our prerequisite. A prerequisite is something that is required as a previous condition. That is something that must be in place before some other positive thing takes place. So the first thing it discusses is that there is no condemnation. I have just briefly pointed out the condemnation of the sinner. And if you are here tonight as a visitor, acknowledging that you are not a Christian, we are glad for you. We are encouraged by the decision you made to be with us. But we want to remind you that you stand condemned in God's sight. That's right. And every second of your life, you are a condemned person because of sin. But when, you see, the condemnation on every sinner for his or her sin is completely and utterly removed once through right teaching and baptism you get in Christ. Now, in Christ, there is no condemnation. The child of God does not live in a state of condemnation. I would make another statement there, but further on. The child of God has been emancipated from sin. The child of God has been forgiven in Jesus Christ. The child of God has been cleansed when that person gets in Christ. Therefore, there is no condemnation. That's a privilege. that we must not take for granted. The removal of condemnation provides deliverance from the power of sin. It doesn't mean that the child of God doesn't sin, you know. In fact, that's very important that we understand this difference. When the sinner sins, that sin remains with that sinner for the rest of his or her life until that person becomes a child of God. Christian, we need to remember this. But doesn't the Christian slip up here and there? Yes, we sin. But because of where we are in Christ, we are continually being cleansed. That's one of the great, vast difference between a child of God who becomes a Christian the Bible's way and is walking according to the teachings of Christ. We are, according to the book of John, I didn't plan for us to read, but you know what, brother, let us read it. We take too much for granted. It is 1 John, is it chapter 1, verse 7? Or somewhere there, or from verse 7 following? Let us hear it.
But if we walk in the light.
If we walk in the light.
As he is in the light.
As he is in the light.
We have fellowship one with another.
Brother Avery, the we here, the we, it's not referring to all people. That we is exclusive. It refers to the children of God. And walking in the light means you are living by the gospel. Read on.
We have fellowship one with another.
We have fellowship one with another.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from
this is the present continuous tense. And it means the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from all our sins. So you see the difference? When the ungodly man sins, he has not been born into the family of God. Therefore, he's not being cleansed. His sin is just pile up, pile up, pile up, heap up, heap up, save up, save up in the sight of God. Our sins are continually, it's like we live in a spiritual washing machine that continues to wash our sins away. What a privilege. But not only that, we move on. The text discusses not only our prerequisite, that is, no condemnation. The text discusses our position, namely, in Christ. We came over into it just now, of necessity. Let us hear verse 2 again.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Where?
In Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Hath made me free from the law of sin and
now,
death.
Now, our position, that is where we are placed, where we are fixed, is in Christ. Read again, brother.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Now, in both verse 1 and verse 2, the emphasis is placed on our union with Jesus Christ. Let me hear verse 1.
There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
You all get it. The no condemnation is strictly limited to men and women who are in Jesus Christ. That is our position. And it is talking about the union that the Christian has with Christ. This union began at baptism. Are we there? But watch here now. This union is brought about by, I was about to say faith, but I need to qualify that. This union is brought about by obedient faith. And the union is not only obtained by obedient faith, it is also maintained by obedient faith. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? It is by obedient faith that we get to become one with our Lord and Savior. It is by that same obedient faith that union is going to be maintained with Christ. You see, this business of being in Christ is the position that is obtained and maintained by faith, obedient faith. That was our position. But the text discussed not only our prerequisite and our position, the text discussed our power. Our power. Verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
You notice it discussed two laws here. And it's important. It's important that we, in fact, in a few minutes, we will be looking on these two laws in more detail. But to refresh your mind, I ask the brother to read it again.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
The law of the Spirit of life, freed me from the law of sin and death. So the text in discussing our power, what is our power? The Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. May I? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Watch here. That is the life that is to be found in Jesus Christ is made ours by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. That's all that, if you found that complicated the way it's worded, all that it is saying, the life of Christ, the life that is to be found in Christ, the life that is fit for heaven, the life that is fit for union and fellowship with the Almighty God, that life now become ours. And it is the power that the Holy Spirit gives us that makes that life ours, simply because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. But not only does the passage discuss our prerequisite, our position, our power, the text discuss also our protection. Verse 2 again.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
There is a law. Wait. The law of the Spirit. Did you know that that is referring to the gospel? I was here trying to figure out whether I should go to that passage. The passage in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I think that's the passage I want. Verse 19 following. 1 Corinthians 9:19 following.
For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew.
I want you to notice something. I was there trying to figure out rather I need to. But just to show you something here. Some time ago, we discussed briefly this passage on the radio program. Read, brother.
And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew.
Paul says, unto the Jews, I became a Jew.
That I might gain the Jews.
That I may gain the Jews.
To them that are under the law, as under the law.
Watch here now. To them that are under the law, I act as if I am under the law. That is talking. You are going to notice that the passage under consideration here going to be discussing three different laws. That's right. Three different laws. So, to them that are under the law.
As under the law.
As under the law. That is, let me put it, the Jewish law. The Jewish law.
That I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law.
Now, this is the Gentiles. This is the Gentiles. Now, and what this means is that the Gentiles did not have a written law. But they have the law of their conscience as discussed in the book of Romans chapter 2 and from verse 12 following. The law of the conscience. So the Gentiles did not have a written law. That is, they did not have the Old Testament law. So what he said there about them, brother?
To them that are without law. As without law. Being not without law.
Watch here now. So Paul, A.D.C. Paul bring himself. The Gentiles were without law, which means they were without the written law. Paul says, in a sense, I identify with them, even though I
was not without law to God. But under the law to Christ.
That to Christ, Brother Blake, mean under the law of Christ. So here the passage discusses the Jewish law. The unwritten law of the conscience that the Gentiles live by. And the law of Christ. Now it is the law of Christ that is under consideration in the passage of Romans chapter 8, verse 2. You can read it now again, brother.
For the law of the Spirit of life.
What law is that? The gospel, the New Testament law of Christianity. That's the law of the Spirit of life. Has made me?
Has made me free from the law of sin and death.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a kind of liberation. It is a type of emancipation given to the children of God. It is a type of freedom from the demands and the condemnation of the Old Testament law. Why did he call the Old Testament law a law of sin and death? Simply because the Old Testament system showed up sin. That's one of the main reasons it was given. To let you know you are a condemned person. To let you know you are a sinner. And then it was ready to cut you off in death. So that's why it is called the law of sin and death. May I illustrate? The very first day the law of Moses went into effect, 3,000 people disobeyed it and were killed. The very first day. That is found in the book of Exodus 32:24. In fact, I really want 28. But read from 24 quick, brother. Now, What I'm doing, and the list will soon be yours. That's right. What I'm doing, I'm contrasting the two laws. The passage of Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 discuss two laws. The law of the spirit of life in Christ and the law of sin and death. We are now talking about the law of sin and death. And if you are there wondering about, well, here I'm giving you, here God's word is giving you, that the very first day, when was that, Brother Mitchell? When Moses came down from the mountain with the covenant, the Ten Commandments, it was to go in effect that very day. Look what happened. Read for me.
And then I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it up.
That is Aaron. Aaron speaking to them, brother.
So they gave it to me. Then
now Aaron was defending the idol that he built. That's right. And was relating to Moses how that idol that he built came about. Aaron wanted to fool Moses. He first fooled himself. Want to fool Moses. I just throw it in the fire, throw the bowl in the fire, and this year I can't come out. It wasn't built by me. To this day, men fail to accept their sin. Read on, the brother, while you start.
So they gave it to me, then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf.
You hear it? I cast the gold that the people gave me, and out come a calf. Read on.
And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side?
Who is on the Lord's side?
Let him come unto me.
And
all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side.
Said, put every man his sword on.
And go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp. And slay every man his brother.
Go from gate to gate, house to house in the camp.
And slay every man his brother and every
and
man.
Kill every man his brother. Wait. Oh my God. This is the very day, you know, that Moses come down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the covenant. When the very same day that it should go into effect. Read on.
And every man is companion, and every man is neighbor. And the children of Levi
every
did according.
Every man is neighbor. Every man, you kill your brother, your companion.
Your neighbor.
Your neighbor.
And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men.
Y'all got it? 3,000 people were killed according to that law, which was a law of sin and death, because that law found them guilty of sin. And that law demands death. And the very day it came into effect, 3,000 of them were killed. I have some good news for you. But the very day the law of life in Christ came, 3,000 men and women heard it, believed it, repented, were baptized, and were saved that very same day. That is the very day the law of the gospel came into effect. You see that the difference between the Old Testament law and the gospel is the difference between night and day. There is no comparison. And this is a good example. Tell men and women that the very day, why is it the law of sin and death? The very day it came into effect, 3,000 people were condemned by it and died. But the very day the gospel of Jesus Christ came into effect, thanks be to God. Thanks be to the power of the gospel and the grace that is available in Christ. 3,000 sinners heard it, believed it, repented, baptized, and were saved on that day. Thanks be to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. I don't think you need any more preaching for the rest of the night. I was about to mention one or two more position points that the text speaks of our. Remember, I told you the text speaks of our position. Now this one, the text speaks of our provision. But we are going to let that with some other points stay until another time. If you are here tonight and if you are not a child of God, you can come believing, repenting, confessing Christ's name, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. That's right. Because we are living in the time of the law of life in Jesus Christ. Christ calls you, and He calls you to repentance and to life. As we stand and sing, Christ has come.
Song 3.